Hey guys and gals, all you Hepcats, cool kittens, you diesel-powered disciples of cool, my friends and foes, welcome back to another episode of the Diesel Punk Podcast. I am your host, the artist also known as the Bamboozlist, Big Daddy Cool. You can call me Johnny, and with me, our newest Middle Tennessee transplant, the weird, the creepy, the macabre, Dark Soul. And next to him, one of the diesel punk purists, the faithful, as it were, Corey Hillesheim.
What's up, guys?
Did I get it right that time?
Very good. Yeah. I'm impressed.
I've been practicing.
Yeah,
I've been practicing. Good. So tonight we're going to talk about diesel punk Halloween. Some of the traditions that we have from Halloween that started in the diesel era. How you can make Halloween, you know, kind of uniquely diesel punk. But before we get to that, we have another comics review. And the team, Andrew Maxwell, great review on Broken Gargoyles. Would you review my book, Rum Row? And as it turns out, I had gotten turned on to Rum Row about 2 years ago on Comixology. So here's the cover. You can't really see that on camera, I guess. There, get close out of the light. Rum Row, and I got turned on to it about 2 years ago on Comixology. Now, do either of you use Comixology?
I don't.
No?
No, I need to.
It's a very cool app. So it's very cool, especially for new, cutting-edge and creator-owned stuff that you can't find necessarily in a store. Or especially if you don't have a local comic book shop near you.
I mean, I did download it to read Rum Row, so I do have it. I just haven't explored it yet. So, we're getting there.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know who he's waving to. You're creeping me out a little bit there, Dark Soul. I don't know what this is all about. Anyway, Rum Row. Corey, it was classified on Comixology as steampunk.
Yeah.
And we were talking about that, but the creator, Andrew Maxwell, when he emailed me, he definitely called it diesel punk. And I would definitely classify it that way.
Definitely. Yeah, it is. It's a very 20s, 30s feel. Prohibition.
But the speakeasies...
The speakeasies, yes.
...are not traditional speakeasies.
No, they are airships.
That's right.
Yes, that's why I would only consider that... Only that part, steampunk, and like we discussed earlier, that's not really steampunk because airships and zeppelins came into play in the diesel era.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. And why can I not get this to, flip over to the... Oh, you know what? Technology is not cooperating with me tonight. So we talked about this issue, or issues 1 and 2. They're currently mounting a Kickstarter for issue 3, to finish issue 3. And according to Andrew, it's just the lettering is all they have to finish up now.
Okay.
So that's encouraging. Here we go. So I don't know that you can't see that, but it is very much a prohibition gang war noir cop drama,
mm-hmm.
especially issue 2.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I love the art style. It's phenomenal, really crisp and clean. The only criticism I have of this book is that it drops us in the middle of the story and there's very little explanation or exposition about who, what, when, and why.
Lack of backstory, I'd say. Well, that's a minor point, but yeah, I wish I would have known why he was at that particular speakeasy. Why they're trying to steal the plans of this particular aircraft. But other than that, I mean, I liked it. I enjoyed it. It had a good story to it. I hope to see more of it.
Yeah, it's really worthwhile. You can get it on Comixology. I highly recommend that reading platform because Comixology for comics is just gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
It is gorgeous. I can't read books on iPad or Kindle. I can read the comics, though, because the artwork just pops, and it's so crisp and clean.
You got that digital aspect to it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and issue number two was kind of odd because it didn't for me really pick up where the first book, you know, left off.
Yeah.
It kind of picked up with a whole new story. And there was this, at the end, there was this whole Japanese or Chinese gang introduction. I guess issue three will tie it all together.
Yeah.
So, but Andrew, you did a great job with this, and I can't wait to read issue number three. So we're going to publish at the same time.
We can make up a word.
Publish. We are going to publish the Kickstarter link so that you can go support the completion of issue three.
And that word is now copyrighted.
It is. Trademarked.
Yeah, trademarked.
By the Diesel Punk Podcast. Can only be used by permission. So, Dark Soul, are you going to speak at all tonight, or are you just like silent?
It's like Diesel Punk ISIS.
Ooh. That could get us flagged.
That could. Never mind. I didn't say that.
And he's got a gun.
I meant the Egyptian Isis. The goddess or god. What is she?
She is a goddess.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is not part of the Diesel Punk aesthetic, but, you know, Isis was a character established by Fawcett Comics in conjunction with Shazam and bought by DC Comics in the 70s. They even produced a TV series, which was really great. But her character is in the new series on the CW, Legends of Tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll notice they have never called her Isis.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
And there's a reason.
Yeah.
For obvious...
Okay, so obvious reasons.
Obvious political reasons, but that's an aside. So, anyway, Rumrow, check it out. Well worth your time, and check out the Kickstarter campaign. So we got some shout-outs. Dark Soul, you want to speak? No.
No.
You're just, hey, the people who are watching, we see you.
Yes, I have a lot of people watching.
Yeah?
I was finally able to figure out how to do a live, or the
watch party.
Watch party, yes. So to all my friends out there, hi, glad you're on here, seeing this live now.
One of your friends works with me over at House of Cards.
Who's that?
He's one of the bartenders. Yeah, now I'm going to not remember his name. anyway, moving
right
along.
What's up, Jason? I see you saying hi. How you doing, bud?
Excuse me, I'm dealing with a little bit of a cough and cold, so.
Man cold.
Yeah, I did post.
Or man flu.
I did post that as the man flu.
Yeah.
So the man flu is when, you know, a guy has a little bit of a sniffle and it destroys his entire being.
It destroys it.
Yeah. Whereas, you know, a woman, she would have the actual plague and soldier on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I did. I felt like I was going to die for 2 days. And all I have is little headache and a cough.
That's why he looks like Middle Eastern Diesel Punk here. He's got his respirator on. He doesn't want us breathing on him.
All right, well, you're going to have to talk about that in a minute. So, it is our Halloween episode. And I know we're not all decked out for Halloween. We have day jobs. I thought about getting into costume, but, you know, I didn't get here until almost 6:30. And, you did. You got into costume. Yes, but, I mean.
Kind of.
I was gonna do makeup, and I was going to do, you know, some really cool stuff, and just ran out of time. So the Indiana Jones hat is going to have to suffice. You know, Halloween. Most of our traditions in America, the popular traditions, the commercial traditions, originate in the diesel era. For example, we were talking about this.
Yes. Commercial costumes.
That's right. The first commercial costumes available at retail stores and department stores were introduced in the 1930s.
And creepy plastic masks and...
Yeah.
Pre-manufactured outfits.
And you know what? They were even plastic back then. Mm-hmm. I guess, we always think of plastic as a very modern invention.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was commercial plastic, you know, as early as the 20s and 30s. And the Russians really, like, made the best of that with what they called what Bakelite.
Bakelite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of U.S. Appliances, radios and whatnot, were made with that.
Bakelite.
But I have a Bakelite AK-47 bayonet.
Oh, wow.
That was used. It's World War II surplus. And so we always think of these, you know, plastic masks as kind of a modern contemporary thing. But 1930s, they're packaging plastic masks and cloth costumes.
Yeah, there wasn't that vinyl like in the 80s.
Yeah, that we all well, dressed the, in. Or the 70s for me.
Yeah,
yeah, that but didn't like survive C-3PO. One bush.
No.
Yeah, you cut through a bush and that costume is left behind. I know that for a fact because that happened to me at least on two different occasions. So commercial costuming and the return of trick-or-treating. Now, trick-or-treating was actually an Irish tradition called souling. Because in the Irish tradition, All Hallows Eve, which we know today as Halloween is a conjunction of All Hallows Eve, was a Christian holiday that was the day before All Hallows Day, and they held big feasts and banquets, kind of like our Christmas Eve celebrations. And All Hallows Day was the day that you celebrated the lives of the Christian saints who had gone before you that year. So these people would be having these big parties, these big festivals, and the poor would go door to door to just catch some scraps. And
need something to eat.
Yeah, yeah. Trick or treat. You know, give me something good to eat, or we're gonna prank you, make you smell my feet.
Yeah.
And that was called souling.
Souling. I did not know it was called souling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like every good American tradition, marketers figured out a way to make money off of souling.
Mm-hmm.
And they renamed it Trick or Treat and marketed it to kids. And today, Halloween night, the Halloween holiday accounts for $2 billion annually. That's a lot of money.
And not just candy sales.
Not just candy.
That's everything. Decorations.
Yeah. Decorations, still, food.
Yeah.
Costumes. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Big business.
I mean, as much as I love Christmas, Halloween is my number one holiday. Just because I love the spooky aspect of it. I love dressing up and being someone I'm not. Just like cosplay. It's cosplay for the masses, I would say.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love anything spooky and scary. And
well, and so the other part of that was, you know, trick-or-treating started in 1930s, but it was after World War II that it really took off. And that was because we didn't have sugar rations anymore after the end of the war.
Yeah.
And so now all of a sudden, candy sales are going through the roof. It's all the rage.
Yeah.
And, you know, so during the diesel era, during that period of the jazz age, we got our contemporary concept of trick-or-treating and Halloween.
My buddy Jason just commented. He saw a good silent movie from the 20s the other day called The Phantom Carriage. He says the person who dies last in the year gets to be the Grim Reaper's coachman for the next year when he collects souls. Something to check out there. The Phantom Carriage. Silent movie. A good diesel punk movie.
Yeah, that would be a great diesel punk movie.
Fitting in with our Halloween thing there.
Yeah, so I was thinking about that. Yeah, thank you, Jason. So for me, that's a good segue.
Mm-hmm.
How do we make Halloween uniquely diesel punk for us? And since I am what we consider a diesel punk lifestyler, I incorporate diesel era style and culture in my everyday life, everyday wardrobe.
I'm trying to be that again.
Yeah, yeah. So for me, Halloween isn't really that unique in that.
Turner classic movies.
Yes, I dress up. Yes, I do costumes, but I do costumes a lot because I'm a actor, entertainer, and cosplayer. So, you know, that's not unusual for me. But I like what you said, cosplay for the masses.
Yeah.
That's a great way to think of that. But for me, making Halloween uniquely Dieselpunk is pulling out the Universal monster movies.
Mm-hmm.
And are you a fan of the Universal monster movies? What is your favorite? You can whisper it to me. Who? Dr. Vibes?
I don't think that's Dieselpunk. Vibes?
I've not heard of this.
I'll have to look that one up.
Yeah, well,
Dr. Vibes is a whole different thing.
Yeah, I was going to say that sounded like something from the 70s with a
big
bushy mustache. So my favorite Universal monster movie is Abbott and Costello Meet the Wolfman. I love that movie. I could watch that over and over and over again.
That is a good one.
What is that?
The Abominable Mr. Fibes?
I have never heard of
Dr. Fibes. And there's even a second one. Where'd it go? There was a second one, but I can't find it now. So, The Abominable Mr. Fibes.
Huh.
Doctor, scientist, organist, and biblical scholar Anton Fibes seeks revenge on the 9 doctors he considered responsible for his wife's death. She didn't die multiple times. I added an S.
I got to see this movie.
Yes.
Because he's a biblical scholar and organist.
Organist and doctor and... Well, I went back to it. Where'd it go? I lost it.
And is that a Universal movie?
Doctor, scientist, organist, biblical scholar. Yeah. Let's see. Got Vincent Price. So there you go.
Vincent Price.
Yep.
Yeah, if we talk about Diesel era film and horror, Vincent Price is right there.
Yep. Yeah, he's top listed. Dr. Anton Fibes.
Wow.
That is Vincent Price right there.
How have I never heard of this movie?
Mm-hmm.
This is why they're remaking. Okay,
Dr. Fibes Rises Again is the second one. Did that have Vincent Price? No. We'll just worry about the first one then. Country of Origin, United Kingdom. So that could be why.
Huh. Hammer film. Okay.
Okay.
I'm playing charades over here with Dark Soul. This is kind of fun and a little bit frustrating. But what for you, Corey, what would be a great way for you to make Halloween Dieselpunk in your special way?
That's a tough one because we used to be big into decorating.
Okay.
But then trick-or-treating in our neighborhood has kind of fallen off to the wayside, and we don't get a lot of trick-or-treaters, so we don't... This year, we're not even decorating. This year, we're not even going to be home. We're going to a friend's house, Jason's house, as a matter of fact, to spend time with his family and some other families and trick-or-treat through their neighborhood. Hi, Memphis, for calling. But I would have...
They're watching right now, and still they're calling
him. Yeah.
That's funny.
Since we're into classic cars, I would have taken one of my classics and probably parked it in the front yard and put lights in it and skeletons driving and maybe done gangster skeletons, stuff like that. You know, I had a 38 Buick that would have been perfect for it at one point, but sadly I sold it. So
I am waiting for someone who is a fan of my book, Tales from the Flipside, which is being retitled Tales from the Decoverse.
Okay.
I would love for someone who's a fan of that story to cosplay as the vampire Nazis. I would love to see that happen.
See, I've got that German helmet. I don't know if I would go full on Nazi with it, but I would consider maybe doing a vampire German, more of a Hydra.
So this wasn't planned for tonight, but this is an interesting point. So, you know, we're talking about Halloween, talking about costumes, talking about cosplay for the masses. And we've had this discussion on the podcast in years past about how we do not endorse Nazis or Nazism.
No.
And I caution people against cosplaying as Nazis unless they are very clearly and definitely communicating and portraying the villain.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you get into this whole thing that was going on in Japan for a while, where there was kind of this Nazi fetish in the cosplay and anime communities. And we don't want that.
No. And I'm German. I still have family in Germany. You couldn't tell from that name.
Hildesheim.
But I don't really... I try to... When I do anything German... Even some outbuilt German model tanks and stuff, I will not put swastikas on them. I may do an Iron Cross, but I just try to stay away from it because I do have friends that are Jewish and half my family's Polish, so I don't want to offend anyone, even with a little model, that they could see that swastika and think that I may be endorsing that.
So, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I try not to make waves, I should say, with certain friends and family.
Well, that's interesting. So I just recently got this bracelet. It's a loop Tibetan bead bracelet, and it's Tibetan, and it came from Tibet.
With the
And it's got a bead
on it that's a swastika.
That is a swastika, and I felt really weird about this, about wearing it. I understand.
Right? Oh,
is it the opposite? So it's not the same direction as a Nazi swastika. But see, people don't realize that. And I felt really weird about wearing it, even though I know that the swastika is an ancient symbol.
Yeah.
And it exists in a lot of different cultures.
Well, we were watching Silence of the Lambs today, and there's one scene where Buffalo Bill? Yeah. When he goes upstairs to answer the door for the agent Clarice. They show his bed, and on his bed, on his quilts, are swastikas. And my son was, like, confused. He's like, well, this guy wants to be a girl, and he's killing people, but he's a Nazi, too. I said, well, you don't necessarily know if that was the Nazi swastika, because it was, a white sheet with orange swastikas. I said, or was it the Tibetan swastika?
Or the Buddhist swastika. The American Indian swastika.
Yeah, and I can't remember which direction it was facing. That one little scene had that one swastika, and it could have been anything. You know, the man's a serial killer. We don't know what is going through his mind, but it does appear everywhere, but I still try to avoid it as much as possible.
Yeah, no, for good reason.
Yeah.
You're wise to do that.
Yeah.
So we got some more shout-outs. I see you waving a little bit.
Okay.
What else is going? Who else is watching? Who else do we need to acknowledge?
I'm gonna say hi to my boy Cameron. He's from Memphis. Hits a lot of the cons out there. Great guy. Him and his girlfriend Tabitha. Wonderful people. And then my boy Stuart. He has a German helmet and a World War II sword. He was born in Germany. I did not know that about Stuart.
A World War II sword?
Sword. I can't talk tonight apparently. But yeah, our sword.
Sword.
Is it sword?
It's
is it correct?
The same thing. It's
okay.
Whatever.
What's up, Stuart? But yeah, he's born in Germany. He's got that. I've got a World War II Japanese rifle that my grandfather picked up.
I used to have a Japanese sniper rifle,
mm-hmm.
and it got sold somewhere.
I was told that this is a sniper rifle, but I'm not. It doesn't have a sight on it. I want to have it restored. So if anyone knows. Not necessarily firing order, but I want it at least looking back to good condition. And my uncle, before he passed, tried, but he found out that the Japanese used a stain that was based off a plant that's similar to poison ivy. So if you sand it, now you're itchy. And he was going through chemo at the time, and I didn't want to add to that. So
wow.
Yeah. So he tried to restore it in his spare time, and I didn't want to suffer him for that. So I'd like to restore it for him. In his memory. And my grandfather's memory.
That's really cool. So, one last thing that I just occurred to me. We were talking about this in the kitchen before the show. And this isn't part of our show notes, but I just started watching Daybreak. And did you finish the whole season? You did.
I haven't started it yet. Because okay. I've had kids around, and I know how appropriate it was, like I said.
Yeah, it is not appropriate at all for kids. But, you know, I watched the first two episodes, started the third one yesterday, and fell asleep. Not because it wasn't great, but because I was feeling awful. You know, it's kind of like Ferris Bueller's Day Off meets Lord of the Flies meets Mad Max. I can set it up without spoiling it. There is a genetic bomb, genetic nuclear bomb that is dropped that is genetically created to only attack or affect adults over the age of 18. And so all of the adults...
And now zombies.
No, they vanish.
They're just gone.
They melt into goo. Now, the ones who survive do become zombies.
Okay.
But not like, you know, they bite you, you're infected kind of zombies. They're just, they call them gooies or ghoulies. So these kids are, you know, separated into these clans based on the cliques in high school, basically. Yeah. And it's really fascinating, but there's a lot of retrofuturism in it. Because there's a lot of mashing up of different styles and whatnot. And it made me start to wonder, you know, when I first started doing this diesel punk thing 7-8 years ago, Mad Max was always on everyone's lists as an example of diesel punk movies. And I made the argument, and now it's pretty much kind of accepted that it's not diesel punk.
No, I would never.
It is post-apocalyptic.
Post-apocalyptic.
However, looking at the two of you guys, it reminded me, and talking about Daybreak, that there is something about post-apocalyptic drama that diesel punks are kind of drawn to.
Yeah.
You know, I think about Tank Girl.
I love Tank Girl.
And Mad Max. Mad Max. And if you watched Into the Badlands.
Yeah.
You know.
That was very diesel punky, post-apocalyptic.
Yes, it was. There was a lot. Mortal Engines. Same kind of thing. And I wonder what it is about the post-apocalyptic genre that kind of pulls diesel punks toward it. Do you think it's because in most post-apocalyptic stories, it is because society has stopped and frozen?
Yeah. Yeah. I always liked it because of the cars. I'm a car guy.
Yeah.
So the whole Mad Max, Road Warrior, Fury Road especially, the cars draw me in. In Fury Road, there's so many old cars used, like 32 Model A's, and, you know, they had old Rolls Royces. And
when the studio even promoted that actively,
yeah,
used the word diesel punk in their advertising.
Yeah, I don't know what draws me to it. It's just, I think, and a lot of my characters that I've thought of in my head and I'm starting to design outfits for are more of a post-apocalyptic diesel punk. More of the World War II never ended, and now we're fighting, and it's just this post-apocalyptic world where Germany and America are trying to kill each other still, but it's still Mad Max meets Band of Brothers.
Interesting.
Type of deal.
Well, for that matter, I guess Man in the High Castle.
Man in the High Castle, yeah.
Post-apocalyptic.
Yeah, in a way, I'd say.
I mean, it's definitely dystopian.
Yeah, very dystopian.
Yeah.
But there's a fine line, I think, between dystopian and post-apocalyptic in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And dystopian is, I think, a lot of times more cyberpunk nowadays, too.
Okay, so our viewer, Shalom Dunn, says, perhaps because the technology is very much a throwback in time. That could be.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very good.
Yeah. I don't know. That just occurred to me, having this conversation tonight. Maybe
the Walking Dead post-apocalyptic genre shows, they show what terrible things people will do to survive. And I think in World War II, a lot of people did bad things to survive overseas. So I think it brings it in. And then will the Dust Bowl be post-apocalyptic?
Dystopian.
Dystopian.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, that was diesel punk.
Yeah.
The whole Dust Bowl. I'd consider that post-apocalyptic almost. Because here's people living on the desert.
To those people.
Yeah,
it was apocalyptic.
It was
the
end of the world.
Yeah. Interesting.
Our Sky Captain and Rocketeer Diesel Punk. Buddy, Sam, that's my cousin. Love him to death.
Hey, but you know what?
But this is his first time watching, yeah. So yeah. But yeah, that is, those are the two quintessential Diesel Punk movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For anyone who asks, what is Diesel Punk, the first thing I would hand them is Sky Captain, and the next one is Rocketeer.
Mm-hmm. And then Man in High Castle.
Man in High Castle, Dark City.
Dark City.
Captain America, First Avenger.
Phantom.
The Phantom.
Just watched that the other day.
Listen, again. The Phantom is my all-time favorite superhero action-adventure movie. Oh, and
Tailspin.
Course, Tailspin, yeah.
Loves Tailspin. Yeah, but yeah, Sam, yeah, that is right. Yeah, if anyone asks, that's what it is, right there.
Yeah.
That, in a nutshell, Sky Captain and Rocketeer.
And this year is the 15th anniversary of Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow. We talked about that last episode.
Yep.
So, are you sitting on a spike?
I know. I had a muscle spasm in my back. I just my one muscle went, so, sorry about that.
All right.
Technical difficulty.
So, last week we talked about Diesel Punk cosplay.
Mm-hmm.
So, maybe it would be fun to riff off of that and go beyond cosplay to Halloween costuming. So, if you were to take this and go, like, Halloween, what would you do differently?
Since I just found that jacket again.
Yeah.
After 4 years of it missing, I want to add some studs to it, kind of like the helmet.
Uh-huh.
Add some stud, some rank, maybe on the sides, a unit patch. I don't want to use an existing unit, because since I was never military, I don't want to have existing military units on me, just out of respect. I want to do a pinup girl on the back.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, do something like a bomber nose art on the back.
Yeah.
And I would have I want to do a cord or something.
Okay.
On too.
Would you do anything with your face? Because you got awesome picture of you with the skull makeup.
Yeah. I might do a little skull makeup, that, you know, just to kind of, and we've talked about doing a Diesel Punk, American Soldier, Vampire.
Yeah.
So I thought about running with that, maybe doing a little darkening the eyes around the eyes and paling the skin a little and adding some fangs.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So Dark Soul, you picked up everything you have from a local
thrift Goodwill.
Army Navy surplus store. And you're wearing the motorcycle jacket, the Harley jacket, mixed with the military and the desert wear. So how? Oh, and you got the rifle. And that's it. Now that's an air rifle, but I pulled the trigger on that earlier. It's actually got a kick for an air rifle. Yeah, it's wild.
My airsoft guns do.
Do they got really?
Some good kicks, yeah.
So why would you? This is gonna be fun. Why would you consider this to be Diesel Punk Halloween in compared to like just a Diesel Punk cosplay?
We won't breathe on you, I promise.
It's a circle. Big circle.
Circle of life.
And it moves us all. It's a big circle.
Big world.
Big world. It's a big globe.
Small world.
It's a... He's got the whole world in his hands.
It's all the same thing.
Oh, it's all the same thing for you. So there's no difference for you between doing Diesel Punk cosplay or doing a Diesel Punk Halloween costume.
Yeah.
It's all the same thing. I can buy that.
I can get that.
I dig it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. What about you guys out there? We want to hear from you. So send us your notes. Send us your pictures. We want to see your Halloween costumes. I asked on the boards this weekend to send us your pics. I didn't get anything. I'm so heartbroken. I want to see what you guys are doing for Halloween. I am going to be doing my Diesel Punk mashup shaman character again. I did that last week for the new show Haunted Magic, and it was a huge success. Sold out show, standing room only. And I'll be doing that again for Ghost Tours in Nashville this week and doing some haunted magic corporate gigs as the shaman. You're going to be wearing a tie and a suit and tie, and your fedora, because you're doing a gangster character, borrowing my Tommy gun. And what are you going to do?
If I can't get this more together, I may just break out my old Umbrella Corporation Resident Evil costume and uniform and just kind of go with that. We'll see. I got a few others. I got a vampire costume also, so.
I love Halloween.
I do too. It's great.
It is great. Christmas is my favorite holiday, but after that, Halloween is. Because, you know, this, I love that phrase, cosplay for the masses. But really, more than anything, it is the time of the year where we can let our weirdo freak flags fly freely. Yeah. don't do that. all right. Anything else from you guys? No. Anything else you want to not talk about?
It's getting hot Dark Soul?
Zombie Bob Ross. That's funny. That's funny. I was just talking about Bob Ross on Sunday, yesterday. Happy little tree. In the happy sunbeam. In this cool, happy shadow.
That's Zombie Bob Ross.
Zombie Bob
Doing
Ross.
Doing his happy little dabs, I guess.
Yeah, stabbing you through the eye.
That's it.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, I guess that's it. Kind of a short episode this week, but a lot of fun discussion. Send us your pictures from Halloween. Oh, now are you going to talk now?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Kill him.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in.
And until the next time, we'll catch you on the flip side.